This program is available on this quality radio services: Replay Radio, Breeze Radio, Talk Radio X, Audioboo, Spreaker, Absence Radio, Nonstop Radio, plus the leading tablets, phones and PCs.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows Phone.
Welcome to Postcard from Pot Bread. On a lovely sunny day here, it's melting all over the place. I'm Eric Wiltshire in the beautiful town of Pot Bread at the base of the Tattery Mountains, hence why it's called Postcard from Pot Bread. It's your sideways alternative look at the news. Not quite so nice this week, but we do try and bring you a little smile towards the end. And I've got to say hello to Kev. Hello, Kev. How are you, mate? Are you well? That's good. And all the other nice people on Spreaker Friendship have been so nice to us this week. Unbelievably nice. Thank you all. Over there, probably going to whinge, as normal. He's such a whinging bomb. It's Lee G. Banks.
How do you do, everybody? And I'd like to just do a quick announcement. Quite a serious one, actually. It's very nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, but it is. It's quite personal, but I'd like to say it because I think it's important. I'd like to say hello to Jessica. She is actually my daughter, who I've been estranged from for 15 years. And out of the blue, without any arrangement or anything, we actually bumped into each other on the street yesterday afternoon. And it's the first time I say we've seen each other in 15 years. And we've arranged to go out for a drink together and have a chat and sort things out. That's all. I'd just like to say hello to Jessica.
No, hang on. I've got to help her out. Jessica, please do not take any money. Do not take any money with you. Get him to buy the drink. Otherwise, I'll tell you, he'll flim-flam you for one. He will. It'll be there. And he'll say, oh, just get me another pint, dear. And just get me another double whiskey, dear. Oh, and I'll have egg and chips while I'm here, dear. No, you make him pay, Jessica.
We're going to the Fox and Duck. You can't get egg and chips at the Fox and Duck. You have to have curries.
Well, they're a curry. Same difference.
Yeah, Jessica, you see, I could have been talking like him.
Thank you.
I've just got this. No, she's nice. She's got this wonderful Shropshire accent, which marries up against my Mancunian accent perfectly.
Yeah, right. Down there in currently Darwin, but soon to be moved to Melbourne, it is young Rachel.
Hello, I'm sorry I'm back. albeit still mildly under the weather, but I am back. And I've got to say thank you to Robbie for stepping in for me last week, because he was magnificent, Mr. Golden Tonsils. He was great.
I
might be out of a job here.
Well, he got lots of thank yous from young ladies.
He did indeed. Golden handshakes, everything.
Yes.
That's fantastic. He neglected to mention that to me. I don't know why, but that's wonderful. Oh, good. Well, I'm glad he got rave reviews.
He did. He got rave reviews from everywhere. And somebody actually said, and I quote, "Hey, that Rob's a natural."
Yeah. Yes. Well, he was too. I listened to it the following morning because I was unconscious when he was doing the show.
Yes.
And I woke up the next morning. I thought, I have to have a listen on Spreaker. So I was sitting out at the back with a cup of tea, and I was listening away on Spreaker. And I thought, I could be out of a job now. This is really bad. He was a little bit too good.
Actually, I ought to say hi to Alison, who was very nice to me this week as well. Anyway, this was a calamity. It's a very difficult job for a radio presenter to do. But there are now demands from the international community after the Malaysian jet was blown out of the sky this week, and quite right too. It's a tragic event. 298 victims. I'm very disappointed with those idiots who have no respect for the families, who've been putting pictures of people on Twitter. I just think that is absolutely atrocious. And Mr. Twitter, if you're listening, take the damn things off. Disrespectful. Now the great debate has started as to whose fault it was. And the fact is, it's going to be a tough one. The only thing that may come out of this, is that thousands won't die because of it. And that's the only thing I can think of. But there is another tragedy, which, Rach, I'm going to come to you first. Because within the people on that plane, there is a tragedy, isn't there? Which is connected to Melbourne.
Yes. At the moment, in Melbourne, as we speak, they're preparing for the International AIDS Conference, which starts on Sunday. And 108 delegates were aboard that flight, including the godfather of AIDS research, who his name is Joop Langer, and he was the president of the International AIDS Society, and he's not anymore. He was an expert and started AIDS research in its most robust way. He was a hero to many people, and he was on board, as was a British guy from the World Health Organization. But it's a real tragedy that they were headed at the same time, because as the incoming president said, he said the cure for AIDS could have been on that plane.
Indeed.
And it's really, really tragic it's terrible when an aircraft goes down in this manner anyway, but the fact that they had these 108 awesome brains on this plane is just tragic for that community, and I really feel sick about that.
Yeah, and it does cover the whole world, because passengers on that particular plane were Malaysian, Australian, Indonesian, German, Belgium, from the Philippines, Canada, and one from New Zealand as well.
When you said at the beginning that who actually is to blame for this. The whole of the world obviously is focused on Putin as being behind it. But there's another point here which really, really angers me more than anything about this story, is that the world's airlines were told back in April of this year, quit flying over the Ukraine, because in simple terms, they were told it's a war zone.
True.
Stop flying your planes over a war zone. And on that day, there were 117 flights scheduled to go across the Ukraine. Mm. So no matter who actually perpetrated this awful crime, the airlines themselves, for trying to save money, must have some responsibility when they were told to keep clear of this area.
I agree. I'm not going to continue on with it, whatever anybody says. And just for a couple of seconds, I'd like us all to reflect and just try and send some positive passion to the families who are clearly distressed now. They will never get over it, as you never do, but time is a good healer. And just for a moment, RTI and the team would just like to be silent. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We shall now return to the programme. It's a bit tough being a journalist, isn't it, Lee?
How would you know?
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Note, I said it's tough being a real journalist, and we're talking about the legend that is Adam Bolton from Sky News. Bless him. He's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. Good old Adam was outside 10 Downing Street in London at the time when David Cameron, the Prime Minister, was announcing or leaking or whatever they do, the new cabinet for the United Kingdom. At which point, Adam opens his mouth and in goes a fly.
Yeah!
Oh, thank goodness for YouTube. back in the day you had to wait for something, some station to broadcast footage of these things.
Yes.
And you don't anymore. It's just so fantastic.
Wow. You've got to go and see this, boys and girls. If you look up Adam Bolton and fly, Sky News, something like that, you'll see it. And Adam's there. He's really...
swallowed a fly.
Sorry?
Have you ever swallowed a fly?
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I swallowed a fly.
I know, I was going to sing that. Well, yeah. Have you swallowed one, Rachel?
I swallow them regularly. I live in Australia.
This is going in the wrong direction. The wrong direction.
I swallow a spider afterwards.
Anyway, so there was Adam joking, and Dermot Monaghan, who used to be at the BBC, now is at Sky, he then says, "You're right." And Adam just, no, I'm fine. I swallowed a fly, but that's all right. And he just carries, what a leg end.
Exactly. They're only little flies, you know, Adam. They're not big things, flies.
No, but they do. They mess your throat up.
No, they do. It's terrible. I've swallowed. I used to, like, you know, when dogs stick their heads out of the windows on cars.
Yes.
I used to do that, and I stopped because I kept swapping flies.
No, but you know why I love Adam Bolton, don't you?
Because he looks like my brother-in-law, Paul.
No. No, because he told Alistair Campbell where to get off.
I know he did. I know he did. That was funny. I'm not upset. I'm fed up with you telling me what I think.
Yeah.
It's just like, he tells you exactly what you think. Cold, I'm even thought it.
He's wonderful. Adam, you're a star man. An absolute legendary broadcaster. And he's been at Sky since 1989 as well.
Jeez.
That's right back at the beginning.
Yeah,
absolutely. When they first started Sky News. Blimey.
He's in a job for that long.
They're very dedicated. And the other thing, I don't know if you get this down in Oz yet, Rach, because I know you get Sky News, the international thing.
We get you guys, well, in the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's live, but because it's the middle of the night here, it doesn't start till... it would be starting about... starting in about an hour, I reckon.
An hour from now?
Mm-hmm.
When does it finish?
At about 4 a.m., maybe 5.
Right. I can't calculate that. Oh, well, anyway, most of the boys won't get to see Nazarene. And Nazarene's lovely. We like Nazarene a lot. Affectionately known as Naz. And she's the Sky News weather presenter who's been telling everybody about this horrendous heat wave. Rach, don't laugh.
This is hilarious.
Rach, don't. No, don't.
Rach.
I knew you'd laugh. This is...
Excuse me, this is our summer this way.
I'm going to have to shut the mic off. Your coffee. Oh, my Lord. Oh, it's such a tragedy. It's going to be mid to high 20s and they're all in a panic.
Rachel.
Right, do you know what? I think I'd be better if I changed it to Fahrenheit from centigrade. It might be worthwhile.
That's more realistic.
You're so rude. This is an important day in Britain, the day we finally see the sun. This is like a religious experience in Britain, this golden orb.
No, Lee.
And we all bow to it. And then, as God looks on from his great golden orb of the chariot... we hit the ground, and all of a sudden, he turns on the shower, and rain descends and cleans the land and cleanses our souls.
Yeah, so you have to understand this, boys and girls. This weather is due to the fact of some hot weather somewhere else.
It's due to the sun.
No, it's due to some winds coming over from Spain, where actually it's 40 degrees. That's getting close, Rach, isn't it?
That's getting close.
But by the time the wind has blown its way over to England, it's dropped down to 30, so it's lost 10 degrees on the way. And this being the case, the Met Office has declared a level 2 health alert.
Rachel, yes. Who's more of hot air, England or Eric?
Oh, England! England is.
Thank you. Notice I used the salesman tactic of shutting up to put the pressure on. I can't believe Lee. This is not real, is it? I mean, I love Naz to bits, and she's wonderful. Naz on Sky News, weather lady.
It's hot in Britain. That's why I've got no trousers on.
Right.
I'm
not trousers on either. It's 31 degrees in Darwin, and it's winter. So I have to laugh. I can't help myself.
Don't laugh at us. It's not fair. This is something. This is
Rach, help me, please, Rach.
Yes, what's the
temperature now in Darwin?
22.8.
And what time of day is it?
It is 10:01 p.m.
It's the night time. It's hotter than often the daytime in England. Mm-hmm. And yet the English mob are whinging about it.
They should just get outside and just take off their clothes and get all their pasty bodies all lovely and brown.
When you've got pastry on your bodies, you do not go out in the sun.
Only for the lattice.
That's what Lee's been doing wrong, if you've noticed one of his pictures recently. That's why he's all crusty.
Anyway, I have to say, this sun thing in the sky, right, it's actually not there. It's a load of rubbish. It's not there. It's about to rain. That's what happens in Britain. We get all panicky about the sun. And here's a real weather forecast, right, that was in a newspaper this morning, right? This is what the weather forecast says. It just read, simply, today, weather today. Sunny, 96. Tonight, not so sunny, 55.
Not so sunny in the night time.
I'm just picking my jaw up off the floor at the moment.
that's brilliant. Actually, that's brilliant.
Unbelievable. Anyway, they really have boys and girls around the world where we understand a little bit of warmth. A level 2 health alert has been issued by the Met Office.
But do you know what?
Your elderly neighbours, everybody. It's going to be 25.
This is true. This is what the government said. This is what the government told us to do. To unplug everything. Unplug everything from your telly to your cooking to your laptop to everything. Because all those things give off extra heat. And we would die. We would die in this 96 degree heat if we had our television switched on.
May I interject?
If you want to.
Can I interject for Rachel as well?
Yes.
You'd need Robbie for this.
Mm-hmm. For an interjection?
No, because I got all meany with the electric company one year.
Yeah.
And I was having an argument with them. Yeah. And they were saying to me, your electricity bill is down to the fact that on the outside we had these two really big aircon external units. Yeah. And the electricity bill was high. I maintained it shouldn't be, and they said, oh, it's your air conditioning units, those two things there, that'll be doing it. So I thought, blow you. I know it's not.
Just pay your bill and you wouldn't have had to do that.
Well, that's true. So I went to the local hardware shop, and I bought two bathroom extractor fans. And I put them into two pieces of tube. And I placed one in one part of the office, another one in another part of the office, and I put little thermostats on them as well so they weren't blowing all the time, because that gets annoying. And when it got to 23 degrees, these little fans would cut in. They would blow air around. One was facing upwards, and the one that was up was facing outwards. So the theory is the hot air at the top is blown out, and the one at the bottom is blowing the cold air from the floor upwards.
Well, should we just go to that story at the end of the show?
Stop it. And do you know what?
Yeah.
It works.
So you're like MacGyver.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It works. It works like a charm. And not only that, when the man said, he came back for a second one and we insisted on having a new electric meter put in, and I was right, I said, we don't use that, mate. We use these. Well, I didn't say it in those words because it wouldn't have translated. I use these. And he said, that's very clever. I said, and it's cold in here, isn't it? And he said, yeah, you've got no air conditioning. No. And he actually nicked the idea and went home and did it himself. He told me later. But the fact is, you don't need. And at that point, I've got a radio studio on. I've got a server room kicking out heat. I've got lights on. I've got probably 20 computers in something the size of a house, and it was cold.
Excuse me, Wiltshire.
What?
Our weather crisis in Britain isn't all about you, you know.
No, I'm just telling you how to fix the problem.
I'm gonna put a tube up. I just opened a window. And why did the government tell us to unplug all our electrical goods? Otherwise, we'd die from overheating. We'd all internally combust.
No, you just cool the place down.
I know. I'm talking about the plugs. Why did the government tell us that the plugs would make us so hot we'd internally combust and all die, that the whole of Britain would be dead?
Is he on the same planet as me?
They're using their usual alarmist tactics.
Oh, I see. And Lee's been suckered in.
Frightening everybody.
Okay, right, fair enough. Anyway, all I'm going to say to those people that haven't got lots of money, you don't need to go and buy expensive air conditioning, which actually isn't all that good for you anyway. If you get the proper cold air ventilation around your property, it will stay cooler anyway. It's logical. It's called physics. The night of the knives are out at Nokia come Microsoft, as 18,000 jobs are going.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
I know.
Why are they getting rid of so many jobs, Eric?
Well, I suppose, because the technical people from Nokia are similar to the technical people from Microsoft.
They're overlapped.
Yeah,
28,000 people in total are going to go, aren't they, in between the two?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot of people, isn't it? And I tell you what, it also is very indicative of the way Nokia works and all telephone companies work. They need that many people to handle the complaints about their crappy phones.
No. Now, I'll tell you what. Actually, you've just given me a blinking bright idea, Lee.
Oh, here he goes, ladies and gentlemen. He's off again.
Well, you think about it. They're both technology companies, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
In recent years, the technology's improved to a level where currently I can do stuff in the studio where I'm at now, which is 1, 2, 3, 4 computers, and I would have needed another person. I need a studio manager, a tech op, somebody out in engineering, etc., etc., to make this program work. That was the old days. Today, I only need me because the computers do it automatically.
You need me and Rachel.
But no, we're on air talent, darling.
Oh, right, I see.
Oh,
that.
Yeah.
Yes, we're on air talent, darlings. Yeah. As in the back room people where I started. You know, you don't need those people now because computers do the job for you. And I'm sure that's the same at Nokia and Microsoft. They've got to cut people's the people numbers down. Because whereas you needed 2 or 3 people to do a job physically, now a computer will do it.
But it's a simple fact of life, isn't it? We were talking, Rachel, earlier on, and Eric mentioned when he worked at some thing spy station or something, he was probably making it up. But anyway, said, right,
spy that, station.
Do you remember those white telephones where you had a dialy bit in the middle? And I said, of course I do, yeah. And those white telephones, not the big white telephone you throw up down when you throw up falling gone, but those Bakelite or those old phones, just phones that you handset up and put it against your ear and against your gob.
Yeah.
Those phones always worked. Since the inception of mobile phones, nobody can hold a proper conversation on a phone. Everybody's running around the house, waving the phones in the air, trying to get a signal, and all you want to do...
Lee.
That's why they all should be sacked!
Lee, to avoid everybody else around the world shouting at their radios right now, you have to remember you live in England. Where mobile phones don't even work in the capital city, London.
It's really sunny here, though.
You know what? Because I won't live in a house that doesn't have a proper telephone in it.
Yeah.
I've got to have one. I don't know why. It speaks to my OCD, I suppose. But I also got this fantastic little attachment for my iPhone, which is an old handset, so I don't have to have that hot phone up against my face. Because in Darwin, where it actually is really hot, in appropriately hot, not this faux hot business.
Yeah.
you put this hot phone up against your face, and within a minute and a half, you're just about in the hospital.
Yeah.
Because you've overheated. So I got this cool handset that you plug in. It's just like an old school handset.
That's what I've got.
Awesome.
Yeah. They work a treat.
Looks like a proper handset on a 19.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I've got. And
I love it.
Bluetooth. Can you Bluetooth your thing to your handset?
No, I can't. Mine's got a cordy thing. I got the cheap version from Smithcourt or somewhere.
No, but you've got an iPhone anyway, so it won't work.
You're supposed to be able to Bluetooth it, and you can't because it doesn't work. No. Just said that's another load of rubbish.
Yeah, I can't Bluetooth in my new car. It doesn't like my phone.
My phone's the same in my car. Andrea's phone will link up. My new all-speaking, all-dancing telephone that won't make telephone calls won't link up in my car.
It does make telephone calls.
It doesn't make telephone calls. Look at it, it's just sitting there on my desk now, looking at me.
Shall I ring it?
It's a very fancy clock.
Yeah, ring it. See, that's basically what it is. And you can take photographs on it and stuff like that.
Does really good video, Lee.
Pardon?
Does really good videos.
Yeah, 19 hours. 19 hours to get them sent across to you. I could have done it quicker by carrier pigeon.
Anyway, not only are Microsoft cutting jobs at the moment, they're also shutting their entertainment studio. What is going on with Nokia? The big fight against Netflix and everything, as it was predicted by many journalists, has become a net flop.
What? Something just made me laugh when he said net flop.
All right.
Just a funny thing in my head.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. Nokia should stick to making games rather than doing telly. That's the easy way out of it.
What's done on telly?
Loads of stuff.
Like what?
Well, like they do deals with Forza Motorsport and things like that.
Oh, that's boring as well. See what I mean? They've got a proper business model. Like, make something, lads, that doesn't work and sell it to millions of people and then put things on telly. Make telly programmes that nobody's interested in. Well done, Nokia.
I mean, it's not Nokia, it's Microsoft, you numpty.
Yeah, Microsoft, then. Well done, Microsoft.
But I like motorsport.
Don't come and knock here. Eh, what?
I like motorsport.
I know, because that's...
Yeah, there's only four of you who do.
Four?
So, yeah. There's only four people in the world that like it. Everybody just pretends to. And Lee and I actually just tell you that we don't. We just...
Oh, that's the point. It's a Grand Prix. Thank you, Rach. It's the Grand Prix this weekend. Thank you very much indeed.
Fantastic.
It's actually pronounced Grand Prix.
Grand Prix. You heathen.
I'm just a Mancunian. I'm just saying...
You're a Luddite heathen.
I'm just... Ooh. I see it.
A what?
Grand Prix.
Grand Prix. Do you have a Grand Chateau?
I don't get every now and again on the phone.
Yeah, dudum. That is so American. But no, you don't have a Grand Chateau. However you say it. Chateau. Yeah, you don't have a Grand Chateau, do you?
I've no idea. I've got a Grand... All sorts of it.
You have a Grand...
How come you can have a ghetto?
Wait, why do you have a Grand Ghetto?
How the hell did we get here?
I want a big cake.
I know what the problem is, Rach. I know why we're all wrong today.
Why?
It's hot in England.
It is. I'm like an elephant.
I want a bun. Oh, my word, I've got to take one. It's time for a commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Thank goodness for that. I need some tea. We'll be back faster than you can, well, unfreeze an ice pop in England, because it'll take an hour, for goodness sake.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-E-I-O.